briefly review what we covered in the last couple of weeks back class session. We did from which verse? 26? 26 to 28. Okay. So hopefully today we'll complete this chapter. We'll see how it goes. 26. What kind of food you will accept? With devotion. So main ingredient Prabhupada says is devotion, love and devotion. Okay. So what are some of the implications of that verse? We discuss some of the, you know, some of the kind of like, you know, conclusions or things about that verse. What does it mean? Like first when Srila Prabhupada is telling, that means obviously Krishna doesn't take meat, fish and eggs. Otherwise he would have mentioned. That's one point. The second point he says is that anybody, whatever material situation one is, one can offer their devotion to Krishna. So it doesn't require, you know, big millionaire to be a devotee. Right, that's one other point. And so what else? So bhakti is the main ingredient. And Krishna doesn't accept the things. Right? Krishna accepts the intent, the purpose behind the offering. He has so many things, right? In the whole world, everything is his. Everything is his. Nothing we are offering to him actually. So it's just that is just an act of expression of our love. We discussed that example, right? Husband and wife. No, wife complains. Radhanath Maharaj gave in one lecture that usually, typically, husband and wife, they come. For them, it's a new problem. It's like, you know, but he's seen it many times. It's the same thing every time. After some time, wife says, no, okay, he doesn't love me anymore. Then he comes and talks to man, you know, okay, how come you don't love her? No, I love her so much, you know, then what is this? No, she already, how do you express your love? Then Maharaj says, you know, why, then he says, no, she already knows that I love her, why I should express? And she says, you know, how do I know? So that expression is needed, right? Otherwise, we take things for granted. We think always, you know, it's for granted. And yeah, so then, no, that's the expression of love. Many people, even for devotees, they say, you know, Krishna consciousness devotees are usually, you know, it's sentiment, they try to show off. They sing on the road. It's all about show off. If you have really devotion, you keep it with you. Why you have to kind of like show off? Right? So, when bhakti is there, obviously, naturally, we would like to express that love to our beloved. Right? So, no, especially if you talk about this drastic example, right? Usually engage boy and girl, they fall in love, right? So if they didn't establish the relationship yet, right, how will a girl know that, you know, he's falling in love with me? He has to show something, so give some gifts or, you know, do something special for her, something like that. Otherwise she will know like yet another ordinary man, right, boy. So its expression is needed. So that expression we do in the various types of devotional activities. We have 9 types of devotional services we do. And among all those things, our intent, our eagerness, our purpose is what Krishna accepts. And that's what we need to refine. Year after year, life after life, that's what we need to work at. Because otherwise the activities will remain the same. Yesterday only I was reflecting this. After a few years in my Krishna consciousness, of course initially I saw a drastic difference in, you know, my mentors and what even the activities they do itself, it's so much different. I was so much into like enjoyment, sense gratification, and they were completely devotional activities they are doing. So activities itself, there is so much improvement I needed to make. But after a few years, maybe, you know, I changed my life to be, by the mercy of Lord, also to be like that, devotional activities. Then at one point I started thinking, you know, okay, then what's the difference now? They are doing exactly the same. They are also chanting 16 rounds, hearing, trying to, you know, be Krishna conscious whole day, and I am also doing the same thing. So yesterday only I was reflecting. There is a difference in the consciousness. There is a difference in the, you know, the attitude of love towards the Lord. We do the same activities, but with how much absorption, how much devotion with which we do, that's what differentiates people. You know, that's what is the level of devotion. That's what is the categorization among devotees. You know, Uttama, Madhyama, and Kanishta. Everybody seemingly does 16 rounds, hear Krishna Katha, everything. No, let's say if you go for a retreat, right? Everything, prasadam is also same. Everybody, you know, they stay in the same accommodation, same place. Everything is same. But still, advancement is different. Advancement is measured by the consciousness and intent and the purpose of how we want to serve Krishna. Okay, so the next verse, text number 27, Krishna says how practically we can offer this devotion to the Lord. Like, you know, he says different activities we do it as an offering to him. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, give away, do it as an offering to Krishna. So that's how we become Krishna conscious. We remember Krishna in everything we do. Any other points anybody remembers? Whatever you do, whatever you do means basically activities we do it for Krishna, like work also, right? We somehow know how to connect it to Krishna and do it as a service to Krishna, not segregated. Prabhupada says also in purpose. Yesterday I was listening from a lecture, he was telling absence of Krishna is Maya. Maya is nothing, you know. Sometimes we don't understand what is Maya. Right? Somehow we can understand a little bit what is Krishna. We don't understand what is Maya. So absence of Krishna is Maya. If we don't see connection with Krishna in certain thing, that means we are actually in Maya actually. And he says they are side by side. Mataji knew this story. Krishna and Maya are side by side. He said there's just, when there is sunshine, immediately if you go a little bit side, you'll see shadow. And they're not so far. If you just turn away, you'll see shadow. So like that, if you turn away from Krishna, you're in Maya. You show your back to Krishna, then that means you want to enjoy. Separate from Krishna, you're in Maya. See, so that's why, you know, so the thing for us is how day-to-day activities, so many things I do, how I can connect it with Krishna. How I can do it as an offering to Krishna. That's what we need to practice. It takes so many, you know, years and so much guidance to understand in the first place revelation. Otherwise we don't know. We act in the same consciousness we are in our relationships, in our dealings at work. No, the consciousness is so pervasive actually. It's the subtlest thing, but it's all pervasive. It pervades all the things we do, all the things we think, all the things we desire. It's all pervasive. That's why consciousness is what Krishna is looking for. That's what we need to refine. The consciousness we need to refine. Now consciousness is no more for my enjoyment, it's for Krishna's enjoyment. Then it's service. Otherwise it's sense gratification. So then text number 28. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, Prabhu Mataji, we needed help with our some of the services, so we asked her help. So this whole week she helped us so much actually. So today I was asking suddenly that she felt sick yesterday. She had supposed to do something. She said, "I'm sick, I'll do it little later. Then I just called for something else also, and then I asked her, you know, how she's doing, why she's sick. Then she told generally she has a sinus problem, and especially when she doesn't have proper rest, the change of weather attacks her and she gets severe migraine headache, and one day she has to, you know, take rest. And she told like couple of weeks it's been very intense for me. My mother is at home, my son is at home, and I'm doing, you know, she has taken up this service newly, and she has also before that she committed to some of non-profit services organizations. She was helping out with them, and this thing was started only 1 week back. But still she was trying to juggle all of them together because she is very, very sincere and very committed. Whenever she promises something, she likes to deliver. So, of course, this added up caught her to a stage where it's too much for her. She didn't have proper rest. So I was thinking, you know, so if you see now difference in the activities, right? This is clearly for Krishna. Whatever, you know, we are trying to give and say, it's, you know, we are trying to connect to Krishna with whatever consciousness we have. To that extent, they can also see it as connection to Krishna. And it's purely spiritual Krishna conscious activity. It's directly serving Lord Chaitanya's mission, and it's directly going to give us immediate intense blessings. And there are some other things she has been doing just to engage her time, and some things which likes or whatever based on her liking. So now if you see comparison, right, activities. So that these things, I don't know how much she knows how to connect them to Krishna directly. Still we can say everything we do, ability is given by Krishna, so I do it. But see now, can you see the difference? Activities itself, there is so much difference. right? He is asking now to connect activities to Krishna, then I am telling. So I was reflecting, you know, I wish, you know, she can come, or rather, you know, somehow we need to be helped, actually, you know, we cannot do on our own. I wish, you know, some good fortune comes in all of our lives, that all our activities are Krishna conscious activities. All our activities are directly activities to Krishna. Actually, in the one of the purport, we'll see, Prabhupada says, next purport actually, he says, for a conditioned soul, there are two types of duties. One is conditional duties, one is constitutional duties. Conditional duties is based on how we are situated with respect to, you know, family life, Brahman, four Varnas, four Ashramas. There are certain duties we need to fulfill. But constitutional duties are direct devotional duties, like, you know, chanting and, you know, attending, listening to Krishna Katha. These are all spiritual activities, direct Krishna conscious. So the bargain is, our acharyas have given us a way to connect the conditional activities and make them Krishna conscious by connecting to Krishna. But directly, they are not really directly Krishna conscious activities. But because we are connecting to Krishna and no Yukta Vairagya, they have become Krishna conscious. Of course, there is not so much difference, but still you see the difference. How we can see the difference is, by the way we are attracted to do such an activities. If naturally, if you say, you know, okay, there is 4-hour kirtan, Prabhu come and sit. How much we are attracted versus 4 hours, you know, you have to finish some project work at, you know, some project. You have to do it. How much we are inclined. That shows that, you know, there is really purely Krishna conscious activities. I am still not so attracted towards it. And there is something which I am dovetailing, which still I have propensity. So somehow I am cultivating and coming closer to Krishna. Of course, you know, at our stage, it doesn't matter. You know, we just try to take up direct Krishna conscious activities as much as our capacity and dovetail rest of them in Krishna service. But the goal should be, like, eventually, I should be absorbed in Krishna in all my activities, in the whole day. It doesn't mean we have to change the situation. I can remain a grihastha, I can remain a housewife, I can remain a husband working. Still, I can be absorbed in Krishna. Okay, so then, that when we do that, that's what text number 28 Krishna says, you'll be freed from bondage of all auspicious and inauspicious results. When the mind is fixed, you'll be liberated and come to me. So that absorption is needed for us to be liberated and come to Krishna. Okay, so now we'll cover from text number 29. So very, very sweet verses, very, very potent and very deep actually. This 29 verse itself is enough actually, but we'll try to see how much we can cover. Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyosti na priya ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya maite teshu chapi aham. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. So Krishna is saying he is not partial to anyone, he is equal to everyone. But then what he says? He says but, right? But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend in me and I am also a friend to him. So is there any contradiction here? apparent contradiction. He is saying I am equal to everyone, I treat everyone equally, but then he says I am partial to devotees. He says I am not partial to anyone, but he says I am partial to devotees.
Not saying I am partial, but saying I am a friend.
Yeah. Yeah, but he has special, some special dealings with devotees. That's what he's saying. So you are curious to understand how it makes sense. Okay, so let's read some purport and we'll discuss. The fourth line, any man in this material world, some examples Srila Prabhupada discusses.
Any man in this material world may be very charitably disposed, yet he has a special interest in his own children. The Lord claims that every living entity in whatever form is his son, and so he provides everyone with a generous supply of necessities of life. He is just like a cloud which pours rain all over, regardless of whether it falls on rock or land or water. But for his devotees, he gives specific attention.
Mm-hmm. We can pause there. So these are a couple of examples, we'll discuss that. So one example Srila Prabhupada is telling is that a man is, you came at the right time, Mataji. Exactly after we finished talking about you. Okay. So Prabhupada is saying, giving this example that So man may be charitably disposed, you know, he is generous, he wants to give love to so many kids. But he has special attention, special affection for his own kids. Another example Srila Prabhupada gives, that let's say there is a fire somewhere in the house or somewhere. Before a man goes and rescues other children, he wants to first rescue his own children out of the house. He may see, like, you know, maybe a couple of houses are put and set on fire. But his immediate thing is, first he will rescue his children, then he goes and rescue. Even that Air Force they give, right, mask. First you protect yourself and then you protect others, like that. So, that's Prabhupada says, it's natural. Natural because you have a special affectionate dealings with your own children. So, automatically out of that love and affection, you give special affection attention to your children. Another example Srila Prabhupada gives, how Krishna is equal. Is as a cloud, he pours rain everywhere. Be it a stone or a fertile ground, everywhere he is pouring water, rain. But based on the nature of the recipient, based on the nature of the land, it's going to either provide wonderful results or not. So Krishna is equal to everyone. He is providing all the facilities to everyone. Like, you know, as a maintainer, as a Nityo Nityanam, Chetanas Chetananam, he is the supreme eternal. There are so many eternal beings, all the living entities, but he is supreme eternal. There are so many conscious beings, but he is supreme conscious being. He is the one who is maintaining everyone. So he is giving everything for everyone. You know, the food, clothes, shelter, everything is providing. But he is as a Paramatma essentially, you know, if you want to differentiate, as Paramatma is equal to everyone. And he doesn't bother and he fulfills the desires according to as people want, according to their how they deserve, according to the karma. But as Bhagavan, he is interested in devotees. That's the difference. If you want to find out what's the difference. So that way he is not contradicting himself. For example, this incident is there, right? But somebody challenged Srila Prabhupada. Can your God create a stone which he cannot lift? Right? Then Prabhupada said, yeah, Krishna can create a stone which he cannot lift, but he can come as another incarnation and lift it. You see, simultaneously he is not lifting and simultaneously he is lifting. So like that. So simultaneously is equal to everyone, as super soul is equal to everyone, but as Krishna is partial to his devotees, so that way he is not contradicting himself, but he is at the same time fulfilling what he is saying. So another example, if you want to be more, clear understanding, is Prabhupada gives in his lecture, shopkeeper. So shopkeeper has various goods in his shop. And different goods are different price and different quality. Sometimes there are different types of rice, there are different types of sweets, right? Everything is sweet, but you know, there are different types of based on the amount of ghee it has or whatever. There is different price for it. Amount of work is required to make them. So somebody comes with $10 or 10 rupees, they get certain amount of goods. Somebody comes with 100 rupees, pays, they get certain amount of goods. We cannot say shopkeeper is partial. That he has to be equal to everyone, whatever he offers, he has to give. Right? So whatever price we pay, that's what we get. So that's what Srila Prabhupada is leading to. Next, we are going to discuss that. That essentially he reciprocates according to the desire of the people. So some people don't want devotion, don't want Krishna in their life, so Krishna is neutral as Paramatma. But some people want the reciprocation with Krishna, so Krishna is reciprocating with them. So this phrase, if you can write down, you know, somehow Krishna inspired to come up with this. This explains the whole concept. Krishna reciprocates with everyone equally, but his reciprocation is not equal. You see the point? He's reciprocating with everyone equally. Means for everyone, he's reciprocating. It's not like, you know, he's not hearing what I'm saying. He's completely ignoring me. It's not like that. Of course, if I want him to ignore him, he's going to ignore me. If I want him to ignore me, he'll ignore me. So Krishna reciprocates with everyone equally. But his reciprocation is not equal. You understood? Both are same. No, he reciprocates with everyone equally means, based on however I want Krishna to involve in my life, he is going to reciprocate based on my my input or my attitude towards Krishna. So he's reciprocating with everyone equally means with everyone is reciprocating. With everyone is reciprocating. With the atheist is reciprocating with the Mayavadi is reciprocating with a devotee, is reciprocating with a child, is reciprocating. But his reciprocation is not equal, means you cannot say that Krishna's dealing with his devotees is equal to Krishna's dealing with the atheist. Because atheist wants Krishna to, he doesn't want Krishna to be in his life, so Krishna is also going to not deal with him personally. Devotee wants to wants Krishna to be in his life and wants to see his presence, so Krishna is going to manifest his presence in his life, and he also is going to take care and attention about the devotee. You see the point? You see the phrase? You understand now?
Krishna is reciprocates with everyone. When you said equally there, then it's, I feel it's, but
equal. Okay, rather, how do we say? Krishna equally reciprocates with everyone. Or rather, okay, Krishna reciprocates with everyone, but his reciprocation is not equal. Yeah. That's also okay, but it's fine. If you are confused, it's okay.
The sweet example is very clear. The amount you are
exactly
you're in desiring or surrendering to Krishna, the reciprocation will be in the same degree.
Exactly. So for example, if you want to clarify that equally phrase, right? Like there are all of us are devotees. We are all chanting, we are all trying to serve Krishna, everything. Right? So but still, so he is reciprocating with all of us. Equally means everyone. I'm saying, you know, all of us, I'm saying. He's not saying, okay, Naresh, I'm not going to talk with him, but everybody else I'm taking. He's not discriminating among us. That's why I say equally. But his reciprocation is not equal, you know. How much ever we are absorbed in Krishna, want to serve Krishna, that much Krishna is manifesting in our lives, but others is not. Okay, it's clear, right? Okay, so this point about this verse is given in Bhagavad Gita, the verse which Srila Prabhupada brings about in this next paragraph, or rather little down. This also explains the words, ye yatamam prapadyante, like, you know, 5-6 lines down.
Yeah, this also explains the word, ye yatamam prapadyante, tam tataiva bhajami aham. Whoever surrenders unto me, proportionately I take care of him. This transcendental reciprocation exists because both the Lord and the devotee are conscious.
Yeah, so this is the point basically. This verse is 411. You want to write down? Here Krishna says that whoever surrenders, and as one surrenders unto me, I reciprocate with them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. O Arjuna, he says, that as one surrenders, I reciprocate with him. It's not like, you know, I do 1% Krishna conscious activities, and when some accident happens, I expect Krishna to protect me 100%. So as much as we are absorbed in Krishna, that much only protection is guaranteed for us. No, we can say that it's a, you know, Krishna is a businessman.
Yeah. He's
a businessman of love and devotion. But also it's in his interest. Because the thing is, once you break the love, see, this is, if anybody has experience of broken love, you maybe you can relate more. Like, you know, once you break that, let's say as girl and boy, they try to build a relationship and everything, but suddenly something happens that somebody, they say ditch, right? They ditches that person, or, you know, they leave that person. And but after some time, they say, okay, I want it back. Want it back. But then how much more you have to work hard to establish that trust, right? Once it's broken. So other person will be even more cautious now. Okay, now what all situations happened which caused this situation? Now I should be more careful. It's going to happen now. Okay, maybe 2 days he'll be there with me, but maybe third day he'll go. So how much more will be cautious? So that's what Krishna is doing. So we have been serving him nicely, but we left us now. So we are again saying, you know, Krishna, I want to come back. Then he's saying, are you sure? Or rather, you know, okay, well, are you sure is one thing. Other thing is, okay, yeah, you're showing this one day, but and are you sure you're going to do it for, you know, many days, many years? This is what you want to do entire life. Are you sure? Can you show it to me? You know, otherwise how will I trust you? You know, maybe you'll again, after a few months, you'll go back. Because he has to invest his heart again. And so much painful, right? Broken heart is so much painful. And why Krishna doesn't want to get hurt again? Right? So he wants to make sure that we really, really want him. So that's what he's saying. I will reciprocate. That's why. According to what we want. And another reason from our side is, see, one, we talked about Krishna's interest. Other is also our interest. Because we want only this much surrender, that much only we can handle Krishna in our life. if you think of it as burden. You see the point? We don't want too much of Krishna also. Sometimes people say, right? Right? They cannot handle. If we have so much enjoyment propensity, if we have so much this thing, and suddenly overnight we become pure devotee, we cannot handle. Because it's a gradual thing, and we don't know how to disposition, or rather change our situation that like that. So that's why Krishna gives only as much as we can handle. Okay. So then next Srila Prabhupada gives very nice example about diamond and a gold ring. So we'll read that. When a diamond is set in a golden ring,
it looks very nice. The gold is glorified, and at the same time the diamond is glorified. The Lord and the living entity eternally glitter. And when a living entity becomes inclined to the service of the Supreme Lord, he looks like gold. The Lord is a diamond, and so this combination is very nice.
So basically, if we render service to Krishna, our life also becomes glorious. It's not like, you know, just some kind of mundane service where we have a notion of service. Generally, servant notion is very derogatory, right? We feel it's worthless. Somebody is calling themselves servant means, no, it's ka, koi, it's what to say. Yeah, he doesn't have any worth. Yeah, bhav nahi, yeah. But actually, it's more glorious because now that gold is just like that. If you have gold, it's beautiful. But if you put a diamond in that gold, it's even more beautiful. So Krishna actually glorifies his pure devotees also. And that's what Krishna wants. That's his transcendental reciprocation. So we'll go to the last paragraph.
The example is often given that the Lord is like a desire tree. And whatever one wants from this desire tree, the Lord supplies. But here the explanation is more complete. The Lord is here stated to be partial to the devotees.
Yeah, can you understand this point, what Srila Prabhupada is giving? So people think of the Lord as desire tree. Means, whatever I want, he will give, irrespective of my qualification, irrespective of my karma, irrespective of what I deserve and what I, all these things. They think, oh, I go to Krishna, whatever is my situation, if I want to become billionaire or if I want pure devotion, he should give. But here Prabhupada is saying that's not the way Krishna works. He is very conscious. So he is very, very, that's why he is very partial. In the sense, he does only as much as we deserve. Not what we desire. Is it confusing, this example, or is it okay? Okay. So it's not like, in a way, it's a desire tree, but he doesn't give everything what we ask, until we deserve it. Okay, so continue further. This is a manifestation.
This is the manifestation of the Lord's special mercy to the devotees. The Lord's reciprocation should not be considered to be under the law of karma. It belongs to the transcendental situation in which the Lord and his devotees function. Devotional service to the Lord is not an activity of this material world, it is part of the spiritual world, and where eternity, bliss and knowledge predominate.
So the point Srila Prabhupada is making is Lord's reciprocation is not bound by karma. So you cannot say, like, you know, due to by karma exactly Krishna has to reciprocate like this. It's not because of karma, it's because of his own transcendental dealings. So sometimes Krishna may surprise us. Same activities may result in different results for different devotees. Right? So that's how Krishna works. Because he's very personal. That's what it means to be personal, right? That you deal differently with different people. Yeah. So yeah, he's very personal, so it's his personal transcendental dealings that he reciprocates with his devotees. And that's all transcendental, this thing. So it's very nice. So it's, so anybody has any reflections on this, what we discussed? Anything anybody wants to share? So are we happy that Krishna is partial to devotees or not?
So we are dependent on
that. Yeah.
Saying that the Lord is partial to devotees, that is all we are dependent on, because if he is also partial to devotees, we are gone.
Yeah. So very nice. Very good. This is what, you know, can help us, give us more faith and more.
He was giving the example of farmer is there. He's saying, no, why are there different, there is rice here, wheat here, paddy there. How come there are different things? He put the same amount of water, he tilled the land the same way, he put the seeds the same way, but everything comes back according to their own karma. That's what you get is what you decide. So if you blame the Lord for it, there is no.
Yeah, exactly.
But he takes special charasas.
Devotees, yeah. Very nice. Very sweet verse, right? Very sweet verse. Okay. So the application point for us is this should help us increase our Krishna consciousness, our surrender, and you should give us faith that, you know, Krishna is going to protect us. And because when we see example of how Krishna protects his devotees, like, you know, Prahlad Maharaj and all, we feel, I wish I want to be like that, you know, let Krishna also protect me. But the thing we need to work on is we should be so much surrendered as Prahlad Maharaj. That's what we need to work on. When we are so much surrendered as Prahlad Maharaj, that much Krishna will protect. What happened?
No, I was thinking of the story, right, Mataji? So apparently when Prahlad was thrown from the mountain top, his father asked him to throw Prahlad out from the top of the mountain. That too when Prahlad was not even ready. As he was falling, it seems he was holding his heart. First he thought, okay, if the Lord wants to protect me, he'll protect me. Otherwise, let me go. What is there? But then he was thinking, well, the Lord is in my heart. If I fall, I will get hurt. So he held on to his heart.
Oh, okay.
Then, where is he going to get hurt? So when we fall also, ayyo amma, that's what he said.
Yeah, we can see so much difference. Yeah. So difference of consciousness, we talked about earlier, right? So nice. Okay. Next verse. This is also very much encouraging to us, the next verse. Api chet suduracharo bhajate mam ananyabhag sadureva samantavya samyak vyavasthito hisa. Even when commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. It's helping us, this verse. Even if one commits most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is considered saintly. So Krishna is saying, please consider him as saintly, sadureva. Because, why? Because it's properly situated determination. So this verse encourages us so much. Because accidentally we commit abominable actions, but Krishna is saying, actually I am considering him as saintly. And Prabhupada says in his purport, if devotees also should consider them as saintly, if they don't do, they are actually violating Krishna's instruction. That's what Prabhupada says. Okay, we'll read almost 3/4 down the first paragraph. Sometimes, however, it may be seen that a person in Krishna consciousness. Okay, the first paragraph, you can read it at home. The first section, which we didn't read now, I was talking about this conditional duties, constitutional duties, right? That's what is described. So you can read it at home as to what it is. We'll read from sometimes, however, it may be seen.
Sometimes, however, it may be seen that a person in Krishna consciousness commits some acts which may be taken as most abominable socially or politically. But such a temporary fall down does not disqualify him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that if a person falls down but is wholeheartedly engaged in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, the Lord, being situated within his heart, purifies him and excuses him from that abomination. The material contamination is so strong that even a yogi, fully engaged in the service of the Lord, sometimes becomes ensnared. But Krishna consciousness is so strong that such an occasional fall down is at once rectified. Therefore, the process of devotional service is always a success. No one should deride a devotee for some accidental fall down from the ideal path. For, as explained in the next verse, such occasional fall downs will be stopped in due course as soon as a devotee is completely situated in Krishna consciousness.
Okay, so here Srila Prabhupada is clarifying that even though we have this constitutional and conditional duties, most of the time they have to go harmoniously together with each other, but sometimes they oppose with each other. At that time, somebody may commit abominable action, socially or politically somebody may consider that. In that case, we should not disqualify him because he is situated in devotional service with determination, and that devotional service will completely purify him just in a matter of time. So because of his, why people fall down is mainly because of conditioning. We are conditioned to act, habituated to act in certain way. Especially we can notice in our own lives, when we meet at least I can see myself, Like I'll be in one type of person, and when I meet my parents, I'll be a completely different person. Because automatically, I don't know how it happens, we act or talk in a way we used to act when we used to act with them, how we used to deal with them. Now I don't know how much elevation advancement required to refine that. So, that, you know, as if you are resuming the conversation, right? Some 5 years back when I met, I'm resuming now. Next time I'm like that, it's like that. But there's so much gap, so many things happen, but still. So that's conditioning, conditioned nature. Because of that, we act like that. And another example I can say is, for example, if you are habituated to smoking or some habit like that, and suddenly, let's say for a few years we stop it because of a devotee's association, and suddenly, let's say you meet a friend, and somehow you happen to be environment very favorable for that, then somehow without your knowledge, you may indulge in that such activity, and then later you regret. And what Krishna is saying in that time is that when devotees figure out this, they should not consider him as an offender and kind of, you know, deride him, but rather excuse him and just see whether he is situated in determination or no. That's what is his qualification. If he is situated with determination, means he is sincere, then he can be excused. This is an occasional accidental fall down. But otherwise, that means he is using devotional service as an excuse to commit sinful activities. That is not recommended. That's what Srila Prabhupada is going to clarify later on, last chapter, last paragraph. So why another point Srila Prabhupada is saying is because Krishna consciousness is so strong. This is such that occasional fall downs will be rectified in matter of time. So one incident is there to reflect that, is that one time when Srila Prabhupada's god brothers, they criticized Srila Prabhupada that, you know, why you are giving initiation, first initiation, second initiation to all these malechas, yavanas, you know, born in American countries, all these non-Indian countries. They don't have culture of Brahmanism. How can you give them Brahmanical initiation? Then Srila Prabhupada said, which is more powerful? Do you think their karma and their conditioning is more powerful, or one mantra of holy name is more powerful? Then, because they are all Vaishnavas, right? They have to believe in the power of the holy name. Then they accepted. Oh, no, yeah, yeah. That's true. No, if they keep chanting the holy name, that can rectify them. They accepted it. So it's very, you know, significant incident. So that's the power of Krishna consciousness, power of devotional service. And also, you know, another point, as similar to the point about reciprocation, it acts, the Krishna consciousness acts or devotional service acts according to our sincerity. We may be doing the same activity, same things, but how much ever sincerity we have, how much ever, what is our purpose? Our purpose is very sincere about going back to Krishna, coming back to Krishna, that much Krishna will rectify with us through those activities. But otherwise it can be very slow. It can, Prabhupada says actually otherwise, we may be chanting for millions of lifetimes, still we may not be able to go back to Godhead. If the intent, the purpose is not really to come back to Him and not really to, you know, attain pure devotion. So next we'll read the second paragraph. Therefore a person is situated in Krishna consciousness.
Therefore, a person who is situated in Krishna consciousness and is engaged with determination in the process of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, should be considered to be in the transcendental position, even if by chance or accident he is found to have fallen. The words Sadhu Deva, he is saintly, are very empathetic.
Emphatic.
Emphatic, sir. They are a warning to the non-devotees that because of an accidental fall down, a devotee should not be derided, but should still be considered saintly even if he has accidentally fallen down. And the word
mantavya
is still more emphatic. If one does not follow this rule and derides a devotee for his accidental fall down, then one is disobeying the order of the Supreme Lord. The only qualification of a devotee is to be unflinchingly and exclusively engaged in
devotional service. We discussed all these points, right? Very clear. So he is saying, you know, we should, other people also should not deride such a devotee, because he is just fixed in his devotional service, and devotional service is going to help him. I was about to say something. Okay, I missed it. Okay. So we'll read the last paragraph. On the other hand, one should not misunderstand.
On the other hand, one should not misunderstand that a devotee in transcendental devotional service can act in all kinds of abominable ways. This verse only refers to an accident due to the strong power of material connections. Devotional service is more or less a declaration of war against the illusory energy. As long as one is not strong enough to fight the illusory energy, there may be accidental fall downs. But when one is strong enough, he is no longer subjected to such fall downs. As previously explained, no one should take advantage of this verse and commit nonsense and think that he is still a devotee. If he does not improve in his character by devotional service, then it is to be understood that he is not a high devotee.
Yeah. So we discussed this point, right? So we cannot take this as an excuse to commit more sinful activities, but that is like nama aparad. One of the offenses to the holy name is to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. So knowing that devotional service is going to purify me and going to clear me of all the sins, I purposefully I go and sin, then the potency will not be there. So another thing, practical application I thought we can discuss here is that, so when in our own journey in Krishna consciousness, because we are also still struggling, we have so much baggage and so much conditioning, if at all it happens that, you know, seemingly we fall down or we do something which is not up to the standard, so we should not be so hard on upon ourselves. That's what this verse is saying. We should not, you know, beat us, rather, or at least, you know, husband and wife or somebody, like, you know, of course, we should be very compassionate and very encouraging and just direct the devotee towards more sincere devotional service rather than more, like, you know, kind of condescending or criticizing or, you know, making them lose the morale. You should not let them lose the morale. Just encourage them more and more to take up more sincere devotional service, and actually that amount of repentance should help them become more sincere actually. No, see, I'm so fallen. At least I feel like that. After some time, it feels like, oh, I'm doing very good. Or rather, everything is going nicely. But suddenly when such mistake happens, we feel, oh, see, Krishna, I still have so many anarthas. What am I doing? You know, I better be serious. Like that, it's just like suddenly Krishna gives one knock, like, you know, oh, what are you doing? Are you okay? Like that. Some accidents also happen like that because of that. You know, some incidents in our life, like in health issues, whatever. These are reminders. Okay, you're becoming complacent. These are reminders, you know, you're not meant to stay here. Just, you know, be very serious about going back home, back to Godhead and things like that. Okay. Yeah. Repentance is the greatest rectification. At least for devotees, we don't need to do anything further. We just repent sincerely from the heart and take up devotional service with determination. That's all. Okay, so we'll go to the next verse. So why Krishna says, you know, why such a person should be considered saintly, he's explaining in our next verse. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigachati kaunteya pratijanihi name bhaktya pranashati. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. See, another very, very powerful verse. He says why he should be considered saintly is because he is going to quickly become righteous and attain peace. And he is saying, Krishna, Arjuna, you declare that my devotee will never perish. So there is a significance in why Krishna asks Arjuna to declare. Anybody knows why it is so? Krishna could say, I am declaring my devotee never perishes. Why Krishna says, Arjuna, you declare? Do you know?
Because Krishna doesn't let his devotees work to, like,
so Krishna is known to not keep his promises sometimes. So, but he wants to make sure everybody gets it straight that, you know, he will not let his devotees down. So he wants, and he will never let his devotees' words go wrong. So he's saying, you declare that my devotee never perishes. So I'm going to keep that word. So very, very nice. So, okay.
Krishna always fulfill the devotee's word, like you are saying. So ultimately, devotee's desire is to bring everyone to Krishna.
If that
is not the desire, it means that
yes, exactly.
Not
yes, yes.
So ultimately, everyone has to come to closer either way. means Krishna is fulfilling the devotee's desires or words, and the real devotee always think of Krishna only.
Yes,
else.
Yes.
So ultimately, everyone is getting mercy to come to closer.
Exactly.
To Krishna,
yes. It's a very nice. It reminds me of one very very nice section of purport I read once. Somehow it stuck with me. It stayed with me. Hopefully I can recollect nicely. So it ties into the theme we are discussing. So Krishna says he is not partial, right? He's impartial. He's neutral. So that means he should give chance to atheistic people to be atheistic, right? You have people who wants to offend him to be offensive to him. Right, he should not intermingle with or interfere with their free will. So he should be neutral. But at the same time, in his heart, he desires all the devotees to come, all the people to come back to him. But at the same time, he cannot interfere with his free will and he cannot force them. So the way he does it is, he does it through his devotees. So he sends the devotees to canvass on behalf of the Lord to claim all those people who are atheistic to bring them back to the Lord. At the same time, he is not... Nobody can blame Krishna that he is doing it. He is enforcing me from my free will. And at the same time, he is giving glory to his devotees. You see the point? He remains in neutral position. Prabhupada says this phrase, I wish I can recollect nicely. He says, by doing this, Krishna maintained his position of being neutral. At the same time, he gave glory to his devotees. Very, very deep actually, this point. Very deep. But it ties into the thing exactly what you are saying. So he is fulfilling his desire through his devotees. That's what you are saying, right? Yeah. He is fulfilling his desire through his devotees because he wants to glorify his devotees. At the same time, he wants to maintain his neutral position. Okay. Okay, that's fine. I think we can... should we go to the next word? Next paragraph? Next verse? Yeah, I think that's fine. Okay, we'll go to the next verse, text number 32. Now Krishna is giving even more glories of devotional service, saying people of different designations can actually take shelter of him and become pure. Various designations. Mamhi partha vyaphasritya yepi shupapa yonaya shriyo vaishyastata shudrastepi yanti paramgatim. O son of Pita, those who take shelter in me, though they be of higher, lower birth, women, vaishyas, merchants and shudras, workers, can attain the supreme destination. So he is saying, whoever the qualification is vyapashritya, they have taken shelter of Krishna, then even though they are of low birth, women considered low birth, women, vaishyas and shudras, they can also attain supreme destination of attaining pure love for Krishna and going back to Krishna. Okay, so we'll read like a section of the paragraph, purport.
It is clearly declared by the Supreme Lord Krishna, Supreme Lord, that in different services there is a distinction between lower and higher classes of people. In the material conception of life, there are subdivisions, but for a person engaged in transcendental devotional service to the Lord, there are not. Everyone is eligible for supreme destination. As in Bhagavatam 2.4.18, it is stated that even the lowest who are called chandalas, doctors, can be purified by association with the pure devotee. Therefore, devotional service and the guidance of pure devotee are so strong that there is no discrimination between the low and higher classes of men. Anyone can
Take to it.
The most simple man taking shelter of pure devotee can be purified by proper guidance.
Yeah. So this also illustrates the strength or the power of devotional service again. And power of taking shelter of Krishna. That irrespective of our designation, how we are situated with respect to karma or, you know, family and things like that, Krishna can purify us and elevate us. So we should not, sometimes, you know, we may look back at, especially it is said once you take an initiation, why name is changed, another reason why name is changed is that material name ties into our karma or our the way we are situated with respect to family, things like that, right? Everybody knows us with our material name. So the way name changed to say that now you no longer are materially bound, you are transcendental now. And it is said you should never call after initiation devotee the old name. You will basically it will help him to get bound up more into the, of course, you know, you have to go to work, then we have to use our karmi name. But it basically is now no is above these bodily designations, you know, the moment you take initiation. So other thing is for us, you know, if at all we feel sometimes repentant, like, you know, or we are struggling with certain issue, like, you know, we feel, oh, I wish I was not born in a meat eating family, I wish I was born in a more pious family, or I wish my father, usually, you know, we get our characteristics from our parents. We feel, I wish my father was different so that I will be different. Or something, we go look back and we try to, you know, feel bad about some things. But there is nothing to be felt bad. All we have to do is just take shelter of Krishna sincerely, because those things are complete, they are nothing for Krishna to eliminate. They will never cause any hindrance to us. That's why it's all about our intent and our purpose. If our purpose is sincere and very strong, then Krishna can very quickly rectify us. We'll read the last three lines. This is possible only.
This is possible only when one takes shelter of Krishna. He is indicated here by the word
Vyapasitya.
Vyapasitya. One has to take shelter completely of Krishna. Then one can become much greater than great jnanis and yogis.
Mm. Another example is there, like Gandhi, he wanted to make everybody Harijana, you know, people of the God. So, but he artificially named them Harijanas. No, but doesn't help. You have to elevate them so that they act like Harijanas. That's the process of devotional service, is going to make everybody Harijanas, people of God. Now, we cannot do it artificially. Okay. So, we'll go to the next verse, section 33. Okay, now Krishna is saying, okay, even this low birth women, Vaishyas, Shudras, they can be elevated. Then what to speak of very, very rightly situated people? Kim punar brahmana punya bhakta rajasya anityam masukam lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. How much more this is so of the righteous brahmanas, the devotees and the saintly kings. Therefore, having come to this temporary miserable world, engage in loving service unto me. So he's saying even people who are low born are rectified or can be elevated. What to speak of people who are devoted to me? So, you know, there is no question about that they are going to attain loving service to me. You see the point? It's like sometimes you explain certain thing by showing the negative, right? Explain certain concept by explaining the opposite of it. It's like that. So he's telling, even, you know, if somebody is very low born, they can also attain my devotional service. But then obviously people who are devoted to me, they are going to get it. So why should you have any doubt? You should have complete faith and completely devote yourself to my loving service, to Krishna's.
Translation is
about king and Brahmanas, right? Saintly king. So the devotees are there, right? Translation? Righteous Brahmanas, the devotees.
The devotees and the saintly.
Yeah.
Saintly king.
No, what's the question? I didn't understand.
Right?
That's the first verse.
So, Kshatriyas, where do they fall? Because if I look at that, Vaishyas, Shudras is mentioned.
Yes, Kshatriyas in this verse, right? 33.
So, Kshatriyas are higher birth?
Yeah. Kshatriyas, Brahmanas are.
National system is yes. Common, but is it generally higher birth?
Yeah. They're definitely higher, right? Yeah. They're definitely higher birth. Brahmanas are topmost. They're considered the head.
That is heard like by the activity, right? Not by the
yeah.
Birth, right?
Yeah, this is not by birth, this is all by activities only. Okay.
Because here I said some of the birth is there. Though they may be of lower birth.
That's in the earlier verse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes birth also, that's why, you know, birth causes conditionings. Based on the family we are born in, we have certain conditioning. I told, right? My family meat eating, my father is certain type. So I have that inclination, that instincts in me. So that's what propels me. So those conditionings we can be easily overcome because of devotional service. That's what Krishna is saying. So birth doesn't matter. That's what he's saying again. Same point. It doesn't matter about birth. It's about your devotion. Once you take initiation, everybody is same. It's all about your sincerity. Okay, so we'll read the first few lines. In the material world, there is classification of people.
In this material world, there are classifications of people, but after all, this world is not a happy place for anyone. It is clearly stated here, Anityam
Asukam Lokam.
This world is temporary and full of miseries, not habitable for any
sane gentleman.
This world is declared by Supreme Personality of Godhead to be temporary and
full of miseries. We can pause there. So this verse, another importance of this verse is that he declares the definition for this world. Anityam Asukam Lokam. Elsewhere he says Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. These are the two terms he uses in Bhagavad Gita to describe the world. So Prabhupada says, you know, manufacturer knows what is the type of the object he created. So Krishna created this material world, he knows very well what is its purpose. His purpose is to create misery. So we should not have false. So if we go expect from the world to be have eternal happiness, then we are going with the wrong deal. So we are never going to be successful. We should make it very clear for this. This should make it very clear for us. So let's read the last paragraph. Arjuna was born in saintly royal family.
So the Lord says, take my devotional service and come quickly back to Godhead, back home. No one should remain in this temporary world, full as it is with miseries. Everyone should attach himself to the bosom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that he can be eternally happy. The devotional service of the Supreme Lord is the only process by which all problems of all classes of men can be solved. Everyone should therefore take to Krishna consciousness and make his life perfect.
Yeah, so even, so, okay, I am born in saintly royal family, so I don't need to take up devotional service. It's not like that. He's saying, emphasizing that better finish the business. One incident is there, somebody said to Srila Prabhupada, no, I love distributing your books. I wish life after life I go on distributing your books. Prabhupada said, you know, better finish your business in this life. Why you want to go life after life? You know, we don't know where you're going to be born and what you're going to do. So better you finish your business in this life. That's what he's saying. That's what, you know, he's emphasizing, that we should make it very serious. We just, this one life somehow we should give to Krishna very seriously and see to ourselves, you know, the outcome. So then we'll go to the last verse, text number 34. This is a concluding verse, very very significant verse. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi utyaitvam atmana matparayana. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. So Krishna is demanding so much now. He's saying, you know, he's giving us ways how we can remember him always, be absorbed in him. We should always think of him, we should become his devotee, offer obeisances to him, worship him. Being completely absorbed in him, will come to me. If you want to come to me, better do this. That's what he's saying, you know. We may say, oh, you know, he's asking all this, I don't want to do. Yeah, then that means we don't want to go back to him. So we may say, you know, Krishna is egotist. If some, you know, when we make some statements and every time we use the word I, people think we are egotists, right? We don't want to talk about ourselves. But Prabhupada says real ego is, Krishna is the real ego. Like, you know, he is, actually he says in Jiva Goswami's Sandarbha that Prabhu was discussing, right? It is that homeschooling child. I don't know, it's Radhika Raman Prabhu, he was discussing, in that he was telling. The word I, only Krishna is entitled to say that word I. Only he can do, he can say that. None of us, if he say, it looks bad upon us. But when he says, it looks good upon him. It gives beautification to that word, I, if he says. That's what he says. Okay. So we'll read the second paragraph. There are some who are demoniac, they also think of Krishna. Okay, so Krishna is talking about thinking about Krishna. Prabhupada is saying, how to think about Krishna.
Also thinking of Krishna always, but he thought of Krishna as his enemy. He was always in anxiety, wondering when Krishna would come to kill him. That kind of thinking does not help us. One should be thinking of Krishna in devotional love, that's bhakti. One should cultivate the knowledge of Krishna continuously. What is that favorable cultivation? It is to learn from a bona fide teacher. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have several times explained that his body is not material but is eternal, blissful knowledge. this kind of talk about Krishna will help one become a devotee. Understanding Krishna otherwise from the wrong source will prove fruitless. One should therefore engage his mind in the eternal form, the primal form of Krishna, with conviction in his heart that Krishna is the supreme. He should engage himself in worship. The hundreds of thousands of temples in India for the worship of Krishna and devotional services practiced there. When such practice is made, one has to offer obeisances to Krishna. One should therefore go there for the deity and engage his mind, body, activities, everything. That may make one fully absorbed to Krishna without deviation. This will help one transfer to Krishna Loka. One should not be deviated by unscrupulous commentators. One must engage in the 9 different processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting about Krishna. Pure devotional service is the highest achievement of human society. Hmm.
Last 4 lines, Prabhu. The pure devotee has no...
The pure devotee has no actual chance to fall down, because the Supreme Godhead personally takes care of his pure devotees. Therefore, the intelligent person should take directly to the process of Krishna consciousness and happily live in this material world. He will eventually receive the supreme award of Krishna.
Thus ends.
Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the most confidential knowledge.
Okay. So, the last few lines, Prabhupada is saying, by engaging intelligent person should take directly to the process of Krishna consciousness and live happily in this world. So, this is actually secret of living happily even in this world. We want to live happily in this world, everybody wants to be happy, but unless we take to devotion service, it's not possible. But when we take to devotion service, we can happily live in this life and next life also go back to Krishna. So, it's the best deal actually. So I don't know why people don't take it. Even Bhagavatam asks this rhetorical questions often. He says, you know, by remembering Krishna, all our karma gets cut and people will be freed and so many things. Who is that intelligent person who doesn't take it up? Bhagavatam asks this question. Like, you know, Sukadeva Goswami asks this question to sages. Who is that intelligent person who doesn't take up devotional service seriously? When all his karma can get cut, it seems so obvious, right? We're going to get the best thing, you know, ever possible, everything. You know, why people don't take it up? Prabhupada says people don't desire, people don't want to go back to Krishna. Prabhupada says in his words, he says people want to rot in this world. You know, they want to rot again and again, but they don't want to take it up. In a very compassionate way, I was listening to one lecture in Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada 1.2.20.21, those lectures I was listening. So he was 20 verse. The conclusion, if you read the you can read, go and look at the transcription. If you cannot listen to the lecture, last paragraph you read, both the lectures, same conclusion he gives. What he says is that, basically verse number 20 says that, I don't know the verse. Yeah, Bhagavad Bhakti Yogataha. Only by devotional service, one can attain the stage of Mukta Sangha, liberation. And that's when one can Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam. One can know the science of personality of Godhead. That means one can know Krishna only by doing devotional service and coming to the stage of liberated position. So then Prabhupada was saying in the purport, emphasizing that actually it's very rare to know Krishna. Krishna also says in 7th chapter, 7.3, Manishyanam Sahasrish. He says very rare that somebody endeavors for perfection. Even those who endeavor perfection, very rare to, you know, achieve even Brahman realization. Among them, it's very rare to attain know me. So it's very rare to know Krishna, but it's possible for us to know Krishna because Krishna is coming as Lord Chaitanya and he's distributing himself to everyone. Otherwise, it's impossible to know him, because it's how can a son know everything about his father? It's just think about it like that. So how can we know so much about our unlimited Lord? We are so tiny, you know, we don't even know each one of us completely. How can we imagine knowing about the Lord, right? It's impossible. It has to be revealed. And that's also possible because Lord Chaitanya, Krishna especially, is coming as Lord Chaitanya and distributing himself freely. In purport, Prabhupada says, lecture, Krishna is saying, take me, take me, take me. And the last 3 lines of the lecture, you see what Prabhupada is saying. But unfortunately, we are so unfortunate, we don't want to take it. He says, that's the mood he ends the lecture. He says, we are so unfortunate, Krishna is coming, giving himself freely, you know, come, take, you know, take to devotional service, come to me. But people don't want to take it. Yeah, when I listened to lecture, somehow these two points struck me. It's like, you know, especially I could see Srila Prabhupada's mood. He was very compassionate and he can feel the pain actually. He's feeling the pain. Feeling, you know, I want to do the Lord's service of rescuing all these people. What can I do? I cannot interfere with these people in their free will. What can I do? So he's feeling sorry for them. So we can know to the extent we are inspired, we can do our practices diligently and sincerely with the prayer that, you know, we can become perfect. So on the way, while we are going back to Godhead, we can help other people, you know, come along and do this mission of our acharyas who they are giving their life towards. So if we can assist them little bit, then we can be qualified to go back to spiritual world. So Prabhupada says in that purport, then our, for the Lord Chaitanya is giving himself, Krishna is giving Krishna. So our gratitude is actually to follow in the mood of Rupanugas, Rupa Goswami, his Lord Chaitanya's disciple, to be Rupanugas, which is the whole process of devotion of his Srila Prabhupada gave, and then somehow get the favor of Lord Chaitanya. So once we get Lord Chaitanya's favor, then we can understand Krishna easily. That's what, this is a shortcut to understand Krishna. And we are so fortunate that we are right now rightly situated to take advantage of those things. Yeah, any points anybody wants to share? Any reflections or anything? So glorious, right? Devotional service. So glorious. Somehow I don't know how, what fortune, what mercy. Actually, Srila Prabhupada says in one lecture, we shared that also, saved it in our website. That he quotes about Adinath Maharaj says in his lecture that all his disciples, they conquered and built so many temples, so many, they very quickly they did establish so many things, very very fast, very much they were empowered to do so many amazing things. Then they were asking Srila Prabhupada, what was our qualification to do all these things and to have all these things, you know, to have a temple, to have association of devotees, you know, I was so much sinful, I'm like doing all sinful activities, I'm not even eligible to associate with devotees, you know, what is my qualification to have all these things and to accomplish all these things on top of it, you know, through me Krishna is making, building temples, imagine. Then Prabhupada says, you don't have any qualifications, I have made your qualifications, he says very clearly, I have made your qualification. So he has, because of his strong desire, it's all about desire, because he has the strong desire to rectify the whole world or bring all of us back to Krishna, Krishna is empowering him to get it done because of his desire. Because he desired to all of us to come back to him so much that Krishna is still, even of his, after his passing away, is making sure that his desire is being fulfilled. That's the power of a pure devotee's desire. So that's why if we become also pure and we have some desire for some person, pray for a certain person, Krishna may heed to that request. Hare Krishna, so we'll end here. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.